I want to speak to you this morning then on the subject of Satan and his deceptive mannerisms. And if you will, let's read from the book of Ephesians for just a little bit. We'll get a couple of passages here and then move away from that particular passage that we're studying. We have Ephesians chapter 6, and let's just read, for the sake of time again, just read verse 10. Well, I should read a few more verses than that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Against the wiles of the devil. Then we'll jump to verse 20. You can read the rest of it. And pray for me, Paul is asking, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That fits the groove for any minister, a man speaking. That should be the prayer of all of us, that you'd pray for me. Verse 19 says that utterance may be given unto me, and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. He was in bonds. He may be been in Rome. He may have been in shackles at that time, but he was a bond slave of Jesus Christ above all things. And therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. As I ought to speak. Well, I ought to speak boldly on the subject of deception. That word right there in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm not a student in the Greek and know little other than what somebody else tells me, but I understand after all the words you could use there that the best word you could use would be methods. His method. His method above all methods is deception. Above all methods, his method is deception. We were looking at that the other night. You're just saying a few things about it. And I would have you to turn, as I comment on something else, turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and look at what Paul has to say about people being deceived, and he relates that to the first deception that ever took place in the realm of fallen man, and that was the deception in the Garden of Eden. Now, the reason I say that is for another reason or two. Deception. And I'll get right into the subject matter. We turn the radio on, I'm sure you do, to the BBB Baptist Bible Broadcasting in the pulpit. What's it called? A pulpit? Yeah, conference pulpit. Okay, you can hear most anything there that you want to hear. I heard a man preaching the other night, and he said some good things. Now, I caution you. You're no smarter than I am, and we all seek wisdom. By the way, if you want wisdom, seek God for wisdom, and then tell the Lord that you want the wisdom of a serpent. Is that fair? That's fair enough, isn't it? The wisdom be wise as serpents. That serpent's got some wisdom, brother. He hasn't lost his wisdom, and we're told to seek wisdom. And the wisdom of a serpent, but the harmlessness of a dove, I believe is the way that's written up. But this man was preaching. He said some good things about sanctification. Some of you may have heard him. I do not remember the man's name. About sanctification was his subject, though. But he read a verse of Scripture. And by the way, hold your finger on 2 Corinthians while you turn to the first book of Thessalonians. Let me get where he was studying with us right here for. We'll have it here just a moment for you. Where he's reading from, and telling us that this is the way to read this verse of Scripture. He's talking about the God of the salvation of his people. Toward you and toward me, And then he used the word if right here. I thought I had it right on the end of my tongue where he was speaking in respect to the verse. Anyhow, I'll possibly pick it up later. What he said was, after reading the verse of Scripture there, close to the end of one of the chapters concerning the ability of God to keep us and care for us, here it is in the 24th verse of the first epistle and the fifth chapter. Now listen how he actually said this in his introduction to the message. Pardon me for not picking it up too quick, because other things are in my mind as to Scripture here this morning. All right. Verse 23 of the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's pretty sharp along this line. He even picked up the temple in general, the court and the inner court, the court, and then the holy place, and then the holiest of holies. And he likened this to a man being tripart. Now, whether that's conceivable or not, but I'm saying he's a brilliant man. Here's what he said then. Now, listen, after reading that verse of Scripture, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body we preserve blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's his prayer now to God, and this is the kind of a God he prayed to. Listen to the next verse. Faithful is he that calleth you. If this is ignorance, there is an atonement for ignorance. But if it's blasphemy, there isn't such a thing. And I'm not so sure about what it is. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it if you will let him. That's what he added to it. I told my wife, did you get that? She said, I sure did. If you will let him. Said, it's not there, but it's sure between the lines. Can you believe, and a man's of average intelligence, here's what gets me, as you said this morning, how could a person like the Apostle Paul feel himself to be so depraved, an old man yet, and yet be such a man of God? Well, just flip the coin over. How can you conceive a person who's got all kinds of DDs, and he's got this kind of a divinity decreed upon him almost. They make it almost a decree rather than just confer upon somebody. They like this. They're born like this. And then jump up and make such a blunder in the Scripture. I'll tell you what's wrong with him. The more brilliant he is, the more he's got to fight. A smart, brilliant man, if you just simply cut the feet out from under him and say, you're plumb wrong, he goes down much harder than man said, I don't know anything, I'm just an ignorant fisherman. And that's what we have today. That's what the man said. And if you'd have listened to some things he said, and I'm saying again, I started to say that I'm not smarter than you all, and you're not smarter than me, but I'm smart enough to know that when you expose yourself to listen to somebody, and they're the conversationalists, they're doing the talking, whether it's in your home or out of your home. Remember one thing, brother, that they're saying some things that'll be helpful to you. For God, as somebody said to you a few moments ago, makes all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. You said it, that's right. But listen, sister and brethren, you've got to take one stand that man doesn't identify himself with you. What Saul was trying to do was identify himself with Samuel. And they'll do it every time. They'll do it every time. They possibly can say, yeah, we believe the same thing. And it's not good. We should just take a desperate stand against it and say, well, no, we don't believe that thing. So that's what the man said. If you will let him. Now, many of you listen to a program, I'm sure that, and see the program on TV from Winston-Salem. At Calvary Baptist Church, if I'd raise your hand, most of you see, I see that on the screen. Calvary Baptist Church, where Mark Courts is the pastor, and he says some good things. But he hates the truth with a passion. And the only truth is truth. There's no two truths, there's just one truth. And a man who hates the truth concerning the absolute purpose of God will either be changed by God in this world to say I'm wrong, or in the world to come to say I'm wrong, and that under the vengeance of God. Now, I hate Arminianism. Is that fair enough? I hate Arminianism. I'll tell you why. It is a so-called way of salvation by the efforts of man. It is another gospel. And as long as a man stays in that grave clothes, if he stays in those grave clothes, if he stays in those grave clothes, he's just as lost can be. If Almighty God seeks to get him out because he belongs to him, okay. And many of the elect come that way. I'm not fussing about that. But for us to challenge a man, say, you're wrong. You're wrong. And you get in trouble. You go to challenge such brains as the man I make mention of. He's having, I'm not advertising his meeting. If I catch some of you as far as 12 or 13 Neil Lane, I'll punch a hole in your tire and think you're going that way. But I'm telling you what he has. He has a man by the name of Cole with him. And he got two or three fingers up in the air here and got a smile on his face. World-renowned illustrationist and magician. Okay. Well, nothing wrong with a magician. Not a thing wrong with him. Listen, brother, Saul was told to put all those ventriloquists to death. That's what they are. And he didn't do that, you understand. One left, the old witch of Endor. Well, that's part of it. Here's the rest of it. Calvary Baptist Church, corner of Peace Haven and Country Club Roads in Winston-Salem. This show, you think I'm, can you read that? Sure you can. This show cannot be described. It can only be experienced. So you can keep that brother line paired up again. Funny for a moment, isn't it? It's just funny, isn't it? Almost, back of that, brother, is a serious thing. Thinking capacity. Listen, this show, come and see this thing. A man pull rabbits out the hats and so on and so forth. You actually believe that a man like that is God's man? If I did, I'd preach on Santa Claus. I'd fight for Santa Claus. And Halloween as well, all the rest of these things. I'd sure fix it up, brother. I'm going to tell you what, that is deception, deception to the core. And that man will jump up and say some good things, and you profit by those things. But remember, remember one thing, that you dare not identify yourself with it. Well, he didn't say anything that you could really believe that he was what you're saying, Brother Graham, and that's the key. When you listen to a man who will read one verse of Scripture, I challenge the average person to read a dozen verses of Scripture, Brother Lane or Brother Mary, in any portion of the Bible, to read those 12 verses of Scripture, and if they don't ignore this truth, I'll point it out. It's there. It's there through the Bible, all through the Bible. And they'll ignore it. And to ignore a thing and relegate it into the background is the most sneaking, deceptive you can have. That's it. So much for that. I felt like preaching. I just preached, but we'll just play along here with you. So turn to 2 Corinthians, and if you're still there, let's look at something. Now, that's what we're having in Winston-Salem. And I'm not saying the man don't say some things. You say, that's good. If you're dealing with the issues of the day, he'd jump up and take a stand. I see nothing wrong with taking that stand, but that's not salvation, people. That's not salvation. Second Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Now, I think that's sarcastic language he's using right here. He'd been accused of things he's not guilty of. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Nothing wrong about godly jealousy. God's jealous of his people. For you to go whoring after other gods, he's jealous of you. If you have a companion or someone who's near to you, next to that companion then, brother, you're jealous of them. You're jealous of their company. They're jealous of your company. And if they go wrong, that hurts you. God jealous you, brother. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear. I got some fear in my ministry. Now, the Apostle Paul is not supposed to preach anything but preach Christ. You hear some of these preachers today. And in our camp, they say, just preach Christ. Just don't preach anything but Christ. And if not a thing gets in their way then. There's nothing right and nothing wrong. Won't even take a stand on the second coming. Don't preach on that. It's an issue that's controversial. Listen, brother, if the Lord Jesus Christ is near, and he's always near to the child of God, and you expect him to come, then what's wrong with talking about it? You mean to tell me you're going to take a trip that you never took before? You've never taken such a trip as this before, and you packed and you packed and you packed for this trip, and you never said a word to anybody, never talked about it, and when you get ready to go, that's silly stuff. You're getting ready to go somewhere. And the person who's going somewhere where they've never been and longing to go will talk about it. That's what he says. So getting ready to take a trip. And these folks, they don't even discuss that. Paul has a note of fear. He said, I fear a certain thing would happen to you. You don't hear that, but that kind of like, just a pot, preach Christ, 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 preach Christ. And he's preaching Christ. Everything Paul preached was Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, subtleness. Paul, now come on now. That was, you're plumb back yonder in Grandma's days. Great, great, great Grandma. Forget about Eve. We're not like Eve. We're the daughters of Sarah. Yeah, and Satan's a preacher of righteousness too. That's what Paul fixed to tell you. He's not a preacher of unrighteousness. He's preaching righteousness until he gets the whole setting fixed up where he can settle down in the book of Thessalonians and say, I preached Christ, didn't I? I did a pretty good job. Now I got you all following. Now I'm going to preach I am Christ. And you go follow. That's Matthew 24. Both are in there. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, I don't know how I'd preach on the simplicity that's in Christ, but Paul mentioned that you could try it sometime and say, it seems to me like the depth is fathomless rather than just simple. Yet it is simplicity in respect to what we know, what little bit we know. How come we didn't know it? It's simple third grade stuff had been revealed to us. And if he that cometh, now watch it. Now, if one comes, watch this word if. Now, if one, it's just a remote possibility, but I'm led to write to you about it anyhow. Now, if one would come, oh no, brother. If he that cometh, he's coming. He's coming. If he that cometh, preach, he's coming, preaches another Jesus. Not just preach one time, but he's preaching. He's preaching, he preacheth. This is it, brother. He's coming. And he preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Here's something else. It's talking about the man coming down. I'm not going to get anywhere, so just forgive me. A man coming down and preaching to us. This fellow Robinson, you know, ran into him again the other day. And he hadn't mentioned it. I think if you hand a person an apple or half an apple or whatnot, they should say thank you. At least this generation can't say thanks. So he did contact us and gave him $100 for coming down here. Well, that's more than the rest of us get. You don't get that time you come. And so he didn't contact us. I had a little business to contact. So I contacted him and I said, good day, he said, Brother Graham. I said, how are you doing? He said, just fine. He said, we haven't heard from you. I said, we haven't heard, hadn't heard from you. I wondered if you were, what's the word I did at the time I had? Anyhow, thank you. Were you offended? I said, all offended so long I can't get the right word. Offended, I said, we wondered, were you offended at the gift or the gab? We gabbed with him back a little bit, you know. Oh, no, and he just fine, everything was lovely. He just forgot that it'd be nice to say, we really appreciate what you did for us. But he said something. He just talked and talked, had one of these flat cap, excuse me, no reflection down over his eyes, you know. He looked good in the thing. And he stood there, you know, and looked out with that bill and those glasses, looked sharp. And he said to me, I didn't have a hat and cap at all like a fellow said, not even a wheelbarrow. So he said to me, he said, I like the ministry down there. How you all like us? We go get on such a pedestal around here and Brother T.B. preaching that we're spiritual till none of us can preach, live, or do anything. That's awful. He said, I like the ministry down there. He said, how do you go about determining an elder? I said, well, we seem to notice some ability in a person to operate in the capacity that we seem to feel comfortable for him to operate in. Well, that's good, he said. Now, that makes sense to me, for he said, in some of these churches, they just jump up and appoint elders. And said, some of them don't even know how to go out the back door. And that is so. But now, wait, we can't put all these roses on our arms. Let's cut them off. But here's what he said. I just got to inject this. He said, I would love, he said, would you consider such a thing? And I have. He said, would you consider such a thing? And just like Brother Lane, he mentioned you, and Brother Miller, and he said, you, and if such a visit could be mine too, he said, I would enjoy it. Just sit down up here on the platform where we could act as a people who willing to say, now what's the question out there? And all of us go about answering that question. He said, I really believe that the elders in the New Testament were people who were on a level, though they acted as business elders and teaching elders and so on and so forth. But he said, just take a verse of Scripture like this verse of Scripture that I was dealing with in the 19th chapter in Acts. And he said, by the way, he said, I finally saw what you brethren were saying about that. He said, that's right. Now, we taught him, didn't we? No, he's really nice about it. I really appreciate the time with him. We talked to him. My wife said, come on, going somewhere. But anyhow, you know how that is. But anyhow, that's what he said he'd like to do. I'd like to try that sometime, wouldn't you? Now, what I'd like to do, though, is know what verse we're going to use before we get there, brethren, to help a little bit. We get out of this congregation, somebody hold their hand and say, take this verse over here in the book of Revelation. I don't know where we'd go. But I guess it would be a good study, wouldn't it? Just come at it from that angle. Okay, keep that in mind. And we'll be looking forward to it. Let me get back on the track here. I'm getting back to the word receive a spirit here. Here's what I was coming to. Whom ye have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received. Are the implications here, brethren, that there is such a thing then as receiving a spirit? He's saying, don't you receive some other spirit? But to me, the implications are that Paul has, and they have, on the sound side, received the Spirit. Doesn't it seem that way to you? I don't see why. I couldn't read it like that. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, but we have preached to correct Jesus. You understand what I'm dealing with? Contrast here. Or if you receive another Spirit, which we have not received, but we have received the Holy Spirit. Or another gospel. You receive it, which you haven't received, but you have received the gospel of His, the true gospel, which you have not accepted, but you have accepted, I'm saying, by contrasted values there. You might well bear with him. Study that sometime. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, can you imagine, Brother Gill, a man that was educated at the feet of Gamaliel, that never used any of these big words that theologians use, nothing any greater than predestinated. I don't think he even used predestination. I may be wrong, but never used any of those big words. I mean, brother, he spoke in language that you could understand. Though he could have spoken different languages, you understand, he could have, but he brought her down there where the sheep could eat it. But though I be rude in speech, I mean he just simply told them as it was. Not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Did you understand? I think he could say. Did you understand? Yeah, you are thoroughly made manifest. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached you the gospel of God freely? In other words, what he's saying there, I think because of what was taking place among the false prophets, that they were robbing the people, I think Paul refused to take anything for his ministry at times. Though he plainly tells us he has a perfect right to do so. Is that right, brethren? You remember. The ox treadeth out the corn, doesn't he have a right to eat as he goes along? But I think that's pretty good judgment to use sometimes. Say, no, I will not take him. No, I'm in a predicament here where if I do, it'll hurt the gospel. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Now, somebody said he robbed churches, but you better find out how he robbed them. He took wages. Now, what's wages? Every one of you in here receive your wages. That's what's coming to you. and a good definition on that, the wages of sin is death. I'm not talking about not receiving wages. The man who hired should have his wages, shouldn't be held overnight, the scripture teaches. But Paul said, I robbed other churches taking wages and to do you a service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Now somebody said when you're praying, that it's not what you want, but what you need. You've heard that, you know. Scripture teaches the very thing that want and need are the very same thing. Time and again. That need was supplied, that want was supplied. You'll find the word used. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. He's preaching the truth concerning the ministry there and how he operated. Wherefore, because I love you, not? Is this the reason? Not, God knoweth. We won't argue about that. But what I do, that I will do, so that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion. You see what I'm saying there? That wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Now, listen to this. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel at this, in his day, and he told Timothy, he said, the same could happen in the latter days, hadn't happened in his day. Things will continue to get worse. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, also be transformed. Not just Satan now, but his cohorts. And brethren, when we deal with the realm of the Spirit, and we say, well, spiritual beings, and on we go, and the seed of the serpent, and so on, so forget about our many discussions from the standpoint of being real or unreal. What we're faced with, and you can't rationalize the Scripture. It's impossible to rationalize the Scripture. Say, well, from whence came these tales? We say it's impossible that this could be a biological process, and we're not fussing about that, but we're saying one thing, whatever we're saying is that they are absolutely people. They're there. I'm not walking up the road here and asking my wife, what is that across there in that field? She said, that's a wheat field. I know what a wheat field is. And what are those black things sticking their head up about the 4th of July? So that's tares. That's foreign to the wheat, whatever it is. Call it cockle back home. And I said, well, that's funny, isn't it? I said, how'd they get there? Well, they want the seed. They want the wheat. You understand that. But the truth about the matter is, brother, we're not, and I said, well, that's Matthew 13 I just preached on a few days ago. You're not looking out there in a wheat field and see the wheat up there with some golden color and bowing its head and the cockle standing up there rebellion in black or something like that and saying that's the end of it. You're dealing with two kinds of people. You're dealing with two kinds of seed. The seed of the serpent says, I can't rationalize this thing. I can't get it through on a biological line. Brethren, it doesn't make any difference if we can get it through or not. We've got to believe that our business is with people. And if you deal in the realm of the Spirit, I don't understand this. There's something about the body, about me and about you, that if I were to snap out just like that, well, I'd be here, the same old tabernacle that I am in and speaking to you would be there, but the communication system is gone. And by the way, that's the system we communicate on. The flesh profiteth absolutely nothing except the tabernacle for the Spirit of God to operate in. And there's something far deeper than that which you can see. And you you look at the Scripture and say, well, I'm gleaning from the Scripture something far deeper than the grammatical structure and the pen and ink can tell me. That's exactly right. I can't explain that. But I'm telling you, this verse here this morning and verses is telling us that Satan has ministers. And Satan himself is among them as the chief among them. Now, he doesn't always show up, so I've never met the devil. I'm not sure I have, and I've seen him like I've met the whole devil family a few times. The old lady and the old man and the children and everything attack me. So much for that, but it may not be a big joke as you think so. Good morning, brother. How are you? And you admonish a man as a brother because he said he was a Christian. But you know what he may be? He may be the devil himself. Now listen to me. He may, according to this, said, Brother Grandma, are you going crazy? No, I'm still here. This is me. Ouch. Brother, I'm going to tell you one thing about it. There's ministers of his, and he are real people. And I'm satisfied that I've met many a man in my day and time, most of the folk that you meet, who say, Brother, I'm the Lord's preacher. I tell you what, I believe in the sovereignty of God, and I believe this and the grace of God at least, and others who deny it, I believe most of those people who will tell you, well, we believe in the grace of God. Do you know what they are? Most of them are Satan's ministers. Can you agree with me? Is that too far-fetched? Are we going to see that far with vision, or are we just going to drop the curtain and say, I don't believe that. There's some good in all men, good in the devil. He told part of the truth over there in the book of Genesis. The next portion of his conversation was a lie. So if you're talking about some good in everybody, now what we speak of just moral speaking and good, that's somewhat different. There's no good in any man when it comes to making himself acceptable in the sight of God. But I'm telling you that the vast majority of preachers, that man right here that I tore into a few moments ago and would tear into again if I could get it in Calvary Baptist Church while he's preaching, if I was preaching second, by God's grace, I'd hope you're there. I'd expose him just as sure as God gave me language to do it, while I have breath to do it. You mean tell me that man could, if he continues on like that, as a God-called man, he's the biggest deception that could ever come into the pulpit out there. Like you said a few moments ago, suppose they called a man up here from down in Georgia, I think the man was, hey, we'll go have this fellow here tonight who's going to show us and tell us there isn't any God. All Winston-Salem would be in arms. Well, Brother Lane, you said something else. That man would go down quicker. By far, he went down. That man will go down quicker by far than the man who said, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the inspirations of scriptures of death, burial, bodily resurrection, on we go, everything, virgin birth, and so on and so forth. And then when somebody turns on that man and says, listen, do you actually believe that God set out to try to save everybody and that you go pray to him that we'll be preserved soul, body, and spirit? You go pray to him, then add a little epitaph down there at the end, codicil or something, say, if you will let him. How silly. And yet the people fall for that. They jump in jacks for Jesus. They raise Cain. They can't listen long enough for you to teach them anything. They sing. They get the thing so organized that somebody has to walk from the back to the front here. There's a little lapse of time between the two operations and performances. They get all fidgety and so on and so forth. You ever notice that? Just kind of keep it rolling like this. Everything going. Did you know what that is? Do you know what that is? That's Satan transforming himself into an angel of light. Now, I'm not saying angel of light, and you're looking up there and you see like the old peanut man you used to look at, you know, and you look long enough at him. He had a blue suit on of some kind. You look long enough at him, you look over there and see him on the wall. I guess you all tried that in your day and time. See him everywhere. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking angel of light. A great light on present day things. Great light on present day things will bring a crowd. Am I right? You advertise a meeting, say, well, Brother Minter's going down to Florida and he's going to preach on the nearness of the second coming. He can't hit the day, but it hit the day before. That'd be scriptural. Nobody knows the day. Didn't know the day before. Whew, let's go. Well, I had a crowd in Mississippi one time. I guess I shouldn't have done that, but the Lord permitted me to do it. I said, Brother Wolf, I'm going to preach one before I leave here on when the Lord Jesus goes split the sky. He said, I want to hear that. I said, I don't know. But I'm not sure what you do. I said, well, you come. You may learn something. So he told some. I told him, you go ahead and tell the people or anybody else. I said, I'm going to tell you when he's coming. I got up and preached that message. It didn't take me but just a breath or two. I said, I'm telling you tonight when the Lord's coming. They said, everybody wanted to know. I said, when the roll corresponds with the fold. And they're all home. Call the children by name, one of them out. He'll go to the extreme to get that one, won't you? Well, when they all come home. When they all brought in, he calls the last. I don't remember what I preached on. I preached something and just play with it, but that's it. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. These folk are tent meeting style. They put up a great big, I think you described it one time, you know, from corner to corner, you know, if the tent is round, but they got to do something else. Brother, they put up a big banner, you know, and say, prophetic insight into the book of Revelation. Woo! People just fall over top of each other and hurry along, you know. Find out. I said, we're going tonight, so we're going to find out now. You can also go preach on the book of Daniel. How many toes the beast has and what between the 10 toes. And they fix it up, boy. Just about that back. I didn't get to preach on the text, but by the way, the Lord willing, I will.